Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Lamed. We're going to start at the very bottom of Kaf Tet Amud Bet, the very last few words. Hahi odita de havakatav be duchrin pitgame. There was a shtar, a document where someone had admitted he owed money, as we were continuing from the cases of yesterday, where it says duchrin is zichron, like a record of pitgame, of what took place. V'chol lishne de beidina, and it had all the wording of the as if it was done in a court. The lohava katav ba, but it didn't say b'motav tlalta havina v'chad litohi. We had a similar case like this in Bava Batra, maybe even the exact same case, where it said that it was all written as if there was it was signed by two people, but the language was used as the language of a court. Now, a court's generally three people. However, there were only two people signed, and it didn't say b'motav talta havina, we were three v'chad litohi. But when it came to signing, one of them wasn't there to sign. And the assumption is maybe he died or he went out of town. So the point is that if it had said it, then it would be very clear. But if it doesn't say it, then maybe there's a concern that two people actually were functioning as a court, but really they weren't a court. And then we'd have, again, the question that maybe it was really only two witnesses and maybe it shouldn't have even been written down. So, Sever Ravina Lameimar, if you remember, we said yesterday, Ravina thought to say, Hainu de Rish Lakish, it's just like Rish Lakish that we saw yesterday that said that you would never do it if we know we can assume that the document, if it was done, it was done kalacha. That's where we ended yesterday. There's an assumption that people know the halacha and they would only do it if it was done properly. So, Armalei Rav Natan Bar Ami, Hachem Rina Mishmei de Rava. Now, this is what we say in the name of Rava. Kol kiagavna chayshina lebeitin toin. In this case, we're worried that maybe it was a mistake in court. If you remember back to the beginning of the Masechet, what do we learn? Shnayim shedanu dineim din, right? But they're nekra'im, we'll see this in a minute, a beitin chatzuf. So in other words, we might have thought that, I shouldn't have actually quoted that yet. We might have thought that it was two people who thought that two people could function like a beitin. So then, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, ikataba beidina tulo tzarich. So first of all, he says, but if they wrote the words beitin, then we'd know it was fine. In other words, first they're thinking that maybe two people want... First we're thinking that maybe two people thought they could function as a beit din, but they thought that it was okay if they did it like this, but they made a mistake. Then Rav Nachman says, but as long as they write the words beit dina, then we know that it really must have had three judges, and there's no concern for it. So then they say, that doesn't make any sense, because if we're worried that maybe it was a beit din toin, we could say the same thing here. V'dilma beit din chatzufu. In other words, maybe it was a court of chatzufim, of people who thought that they could judge with two people. Damar Shmuel says, and this is what I was quoting before: Shnayim shedanu dineim din, ela shenikru beitin chatzuf. They're considered like chatzufim, like from chutzpah. Okay, they're considered chutzpahdik that they think they can judge as two people. Dekatav. Oh, so now they're going to basically say, according to that, maybe these two people knew they go like Shmuel, that Shnayim Shedanu, it works. They're just called the Beit Din Chatzuf. So maybe this was a Beit Din Chatzuf. So now the answer, no. Dekatav Be, in other words, what's a Beit Din Chatzuf? I just want to explain it better. I don't feel like I explained it well enough. A Beit Din Chatzuf is where two people basically say, we're going to do it anyway, even though we really shouldn't do it, even though it's frowned upon. Since it works, we're going to do it anyway. So maybe that's what these two people did, and that's why they called themselves a Beit Dina, and therefore it doesn't prove anything. Maybe it proves that it was really two people who shouldn't have been acting in this way. So now they answer, Dekata Be Beit Dina De Rabna Ashi. It's if they write that we're people that come from the Beit Din of Ravna Ashi. So now the assumption was that it was done according to the proper laws. So then they answer, they question, Dilma Rabbanan de Bei Rav Ashi kishmul sfir elahu. Maybe they hold like Shmuel, that it does work, even though it's not appropriate to do, but it actually does work. In which case, right, the point of the Gemara is that we don't hold like Shmuel. If you remember, there was a whole Malach in the beginning, there was Shmuel's approach, and then there was, it's now eluding me whose approach it was, maybe Rav Ashi, I forget, but there was maybe it was Rav Ashi, I don't remember, I don't think it was Rav Ashi, it was someone else's approach, and that's the approach we hold by, that we don't think that Shnayim should denu dinam din. So we say, but maybe in the court of Rav Ashi, these people thought that we hold like Shmuel. So now the answer is, Dichtibo va'amarna le'le Rabbana Ashi, va'amalan Rabbana Ashi. So then they say, oh, no, it's not a case where it just says, we're the Beitim from Rabbana Ashi. It's where they say, we said to Rabbana Ashi, and he said it was okay. Meaning that Rabbana Ashi would never, right, with the Rabbana Ashi, they basically mean here Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi would never have approved of such a thing. There's no way. So therefore, if it says that, then that's the case where it's okay. If it says, we're the Beitin and Rabbana Ashi approved it, then it would be okay. But otherwise, we're going to assume that if two people are signed and it doesn't say that we were three and one is no longer with us, we can't assume that it was done lahalacha. And that's all because of the Shmuel that we might be concerned that maybe it was a Beitin Chatzuf. Tana Rabbanan, Amar Lahen Nechad, Ani ra'iti avichen sheitmin ma'ot b'shidat heva u'migdal, v'amar shaplonihen, shomaser shenihen. If somebody comes along and says, after someone's father dies, and he says, I saw your father hide money of his in a box, in a cabinet, v'amar, and he told me, okay, this guy's saying, your father told me, that the money belonged to somebody else. Okay, so on the one hand, he's telling them, I know your father hid money somewhere. On the other hand, he's telling them, but that money doesn't actually belong to you. And it's according to what your father told me, it doesn't belong to you. Or he says that the money was Maser Sheni money, which means you have to bring it to Yerushalayim and spend the money there. Now, according to this, the question is, what happens if we go and lo and behold, we find money in this Teva Shidar Migdal? And what do we do with it? Do we say that it really doesn't belong to the Yorshim? Do we assume that we believe the guy that it belongs to the father? However, the guy told us, we believe him all the way, that it belongs to somebody else, or it's Master Shani. So it depends where the money was found, where the Shidat Tevar Migdal is. If it was Babayit, then Lo Amar Klum. If it was found in the person's house, then basically we don't believe this guy to say that we can be motzi the money and give it to somebody else, or say it's Master Shani money. But if it's Basadeh, if we find it in the field, then Dvarav Kayamin, because no one knew that this money existed in the field. And in the Gemara is going to basically say this right now, Klalos Shel Davar, Kol Shebiyado Litlan Dvarav Kayamin. That guy could have gone straight to the Shidat Tevar Migdal in the field and taken it straight from there and said it was his own and done with it whatever he wanted. So therefore, since that's the case, and he's telling us that this really belonged to your father, but it belonged, your father said he owed it to so-and-so, or it was Maser Sheni, then we're going to believe him. But Ein Biyado Litlan, but if it was found in the house and the guy had no access to this money, then Lo Amar Klum, then we don't believe him at all, the Yorshim get to keep it. Another case, Hare Shera'u et Avihen, Sheitmin Ma'op Shidat Hevau Mital. This time, it's not a random person, it's the heirs, the sons. They saw their father hiding money somewhere. Va'amar, and he told them, Shoplonihen, Shomaser Shenihen. So now, this is very interesting. The question is, when the father had the money and told them it belonged to somebody else, was he being honest with them? Or was he lying to them because he didn't want them to take the money, right? How many times kids see their parents hiding money somewhere and then the parents are worried, oh, maybe the kids are going to take it. So they say, oh, by the way, this isn't my money. It's someone else's money, figuring then the kids won't take the money. They know it's the parents' money. Yeah, parents' money, same as their money, they'll take it. So depends how it was said. This is interesting because obviously this is one of those cases where it might be very difficult to figure this out. But im kimoser, if the father was just, sounded like he was really just passing over information and telling them that, then dvarav kayamin. But im kima'arim, if he said it in a trickery kind of way, where he was saying it more like, oh, by the way, this money's not mine, just so that you don't come and take it yourself. or this is Maser Sheni money and it's Kadosh and don't touch it. So Im Kimarim Lo Amar Klum, then the kids get to keep the money. Basically, we don't assume that anything the father said was really true, and the kids get to keep the money once the father dies. There was a case where someone was upset about money that his father left him, but he didn't know where it was. And then he sees a dream. This could be very interesting. Can we use a dream to learn halacha? So in his dream, someone tells him, kach v'kachin, this is the amount of money it is, u'b'makom plonihin, and the money that you're looking for is in this particular place. Shom ma'aser shenihin, but they are ma'aser sheni, it's ma'aser sheni money. So, zehaya ma'aser, this case actually happened, and what does it mean that it happened? It meant that this guy saw this in a dream. He went to the place, he found the exact money, the place that he saw in his dream, he found the exact money that the person in his dream told him he was going to find, and it was in the exact place. And now the question is, does he have to treat his master Shani or not? So the answer, the Gemara says, Va'amru divrei chalomot lo ma'alim v'lo maridin. And they're not relevant when it comes to halacha, and even though he found it exactly in the place of the dream, the person in the dream told him, or whatever he saw in the dream told him, he doesn't have to treat it as master Shani. Okay, now we're moving on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah now said that if Shnayim Omrim Zakai, and one says he's Chayav, right, then what do we say in the Mishnah? That the one who says he's Chayav can't go later and say, well, what am I going to do? Because my friend, you know, I disagreed with them. He's not allowed to say that. But now the question is, when they give the verdict, how do they give the verdict? How do they write it? Michtav Hechi Katve. So there's a machlok at Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakai. They just write very simply, he's Zakai. Actually, it's a three-way machloket, sorry. Rabbi Yochanan says, he's innocent. Rish Lakish amar, ploni uploni mezakin, uploni uploni mechayvin. Rish Lakish says that they write, so-and-so and so-and-so said there, you know, these two judges said he was innocent, and the other judges say he was guilty. Which is interesting because here, they're basically mentioning that it was a dispute. And in the Mishnah, it seemed to say, right, what's very difficult about this opinion, it seems to go against the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that the judge who disagreed can't walk out of court and say, oh, by the way, I disagreed. So all different answers are given. The basic distinction between Rish Lakish and the Mishnah is, the Mishnah is talking about what the judge himself is allowed to do. Rish Lakish is discussing what gets written in the records of the court. Now, it's possible that what gets written on the records of the court doesn't get read by both sides. Maybe no one ever sees this and it's just kept in the public records. Maybe someone could eventually look at it, but it's not necessarily made public, as opposed to if the judge walks out and starts telling the person who lost the case, and the judge comes and says, well, by the way, I know you lost, but I really thought you should have won. So the judge himself can't say it, but the court can record it. And some people say that maybe the recording wasn't really viewed by anybody. Maybe the recording can only get viewed by the person who won and not by the person who the majority went by and not by the person who was in the minority. It's a bit of a struggle to actually understand Rish Lakish, how it works with the Mishnah. Third opinion, Rabbi Lezer Omer, midivrehen nizdaka ploni. This is sort of an in-between. We'll see in the Gemara how they explain this later. But it says, from the words of these judges, this person came out innocent. That's how you were read. So first they're going to talk about the first two. My benai, what's the difference whether you say zakai or ploni uploni mezakin uploni uploni mechayvin? Ika benayu lishlume iu manata behadayu. Let's say the judges make a mistake. We learned in the beginning in the Masechet, the judges make a mistake, they have to pay. It depends a little bit on the situation. But if there was a mistake in the case where the judges would have to pay the difference, so the question is, if they write, depending on how they write it, might affect whether the judge who disagreed actually has to pay. So the one who disagreed and didn't think the person was innocent, and then it turns out they made a mistake, and now they need to pay back the person who they made lose. So ikabenai lishlumi iu manata ba'adayu. Delamanda amar zakai, those who say zakai mishalim. He would have to pay if the verdict comes out just zakai, he's innocent. then if they make a mistake and they need to reimburse, so they all three need to pay together because the judgment is said as if all three of them said the same thing, even though one of them really disagreed. Ulamanta mar ploni ploni mezakinu ploni ploni mechayvin lo meshalem. But according to Rish Lakish, if you say that it said from the beginning that he didn't agree with them, then he wouldn't have to pay if there was a mistake, because look, it said in the thing that he agreed. So why should he have to pay for the mistake? Ulamanta mar zakai. Now they're going to question this assumption. If you say zakai mishalem, he should still have to pay just because the verdict was written as zakai. Lemalu, he could claim to them. If you had listened to me, atunami lo shalmitun, you wouldn't have had to pay. So why should I have to pay now? So Ella, so therefore, right now they assume that everyone would agree that if the judge would disagree, wouldn't have to pay for the mistake because he himself didn't think that was the mistake. Ella ikabenayu leshlume inhu manata dide. The difference between them is whether those whether they have to pay his portion. In other words, his portion definitely needs to be paid. The question is, who needs to pay it? Leman damar zakai mishalme. If you say innocent, then they would have to pay his portion. Uleman damar ploni ploni mezakinu ploni ploni mechayvin lo mishalme. The assumption of the second part is that the second explanation is that he doesn't actually have to pay at all. But if the ruling is proclaimed as zakai, then the two judges who said zakai would have to pay the whole thing themselves. They would have to pay the third guy's portion. But if you say, because why would they have to pay the full thing? Because the judgment, the verdict, made it sound as if all of them agreed that he would have to pay. And therefore, he doesn't have to pay because he didn't think that should have been the case. But the other two would have to pay the third person's portion. But if you say, if the verdict is, some think you're innocent and some think you're guilty, meaning the majority think you're innocent but a minority think you're guilty, then they wouldn't even have to pay his portion. They would just have to pay, let's say it was three judges, so they'd have to pay two-thirds. And no one would pay the other third. That just wouldn't get paid at all. So now they question, Ulaman damar zakai mishalme. But if you want to say zakai, you think that means that they have to pay the third guy's portion? V'lemrule, they could say to him, ilav at ba'dan, if you weren't with us, lo avasalik din amidi. There would never have been a judgment. In other words, we three are a team. Without the three of us, remember what we said, if one of them abstains, then there's no, you have to add dayanim. So they could say, look, the verdict only happened because of all three of us. And therefore, if the verdict comes out as zakai, we're all three equally responsible. So why should we have to pay your part? So therefore, they basically say, in the end, everyone has to share equal responsibility and everyone has to pay their part. Everyone has to pay a third. Ela ika benayu. So again, what's the difference between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? Now we're going to go in a totally different direction. Lo telech rachil ba'amcha. Meaning, right, this matches the Mishnah, right? Rabbi Yochanan omer zakai mishum lo telech rachil. V'rish lakish amar ploni ploni mezakinu ploni ploni mechayvim mishum demechze keshikra. In other words, the nafkamina is whether they hold that this is an issue of lo telech rachil ba'amecha. Rabbi Yochanan says we say zakai because we're not allowed to go gossiping and say, oh, this one didn't agree with the judges. However, Rish Lakish says no. If we say zakai, then it's going to look like a lie. It's going to look like everyone was in agreement, and we don't want it to appear as if everyone was in agreement. There's always a bit of an issue when you're in a group of people where you have to keep a united front. Right? You have to make a decision about something. You vote on something. And you come out of the room, and nobody on the outside knows what went on inside that room. But when you come out and you say, this is what we decided. But the person who disagrees, it's a little bit, it's almost like it's, he feels awkward. He feels like a little dishonest because it seems like he's saying that I agree with everybody. So on the one hand, you want to keep a united front. On the other hand, there's this concern about looking dishonest. And we don't want it to look like the court unanimously agreed about it. So therefore, Rish Lakish says we have to be honest about it. Rabbi Elazar, what about him? Okay, there's actually a bit of a debate about whether it's Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eliezer. Before I read it, I think it's Rabbi Eliezer, but it really should be Rabbi Elazar. Third opinion is Rabbi Elazar, because it's we always see those three together. Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, itle demar v'itle demar. He holds like both. He understands both sides. He sees Rabbi Yochanan that we shouldn't gossip about things. On the other hand, he sees Rish Lakish that looks dishonest. So what does he say? Hilkach katvei hachi midivrehem nizdakaploni. If you say it in that type of wording, then it seems clear that there wasn't a complete consensus. So it doesn't really look like a lie. On the other hand, it prevents the gossip because it doesn't say which judge held what. Going back to the Mishnah. Gamru et hadavar. So if you remember, first they brought in the Balei Din, right? The Balei Dinim. They start speaking with the Balei Din. They bring in the Edim. They then take all the Edim outside, right? They send everyone out of the room. They bring in the Edim one by one and start questioning them. So now they say, and then it says Gamru et hadavar. Then they're Nosim v'Notnim, right? They debate. They deliberate. Then they decide what they want to do. Hayu machnisim. So now the question is, who are they bringing back into the room? Liman, ilam ala balei dinim. If you assume that they're bringing in the balei din, right, the two sides, hatam kaime, they were already there. In other words, there's an assumption that even when the witnesses were being questioned, and it said motzi'in et kol adam, it means we take out all the other people and then the other witnesses, but it doesn't mean that they took out the balei din. They were there the whole time. So if you're going to say, right, imagine a courtyard nowadays, right? Whenever you have a courtyard, you have a court taking place. So you have the balei din are always in the room when the witnesses come up. So there's an assumption the balei din were there all along. So what mapidom, we never took them out to now bring them back. So ela, it must be la'edim. They must be, we bring in then at the end, after the judges deliberate, we bring in both the edim. Now this is going to be a little strange. Because why would you need both of the Edim to be there when they say when they pronounce the verdict? For what reason? So now they're going to suggest Kiman Dilo Kirabi Natan. This must be not like Rabbi Natan's opinion. Now before we get to Rabbi Natan's opinion, we're going to have two machlokot here. One is going to be sort of based on the other, and these always go together. We saw them in Bava Batra also. Ditanya Laolam Ein Edutam Itzterefet Ad Shirush Nehem Keechad. This brayta that says like this: you can't have two witnesses coming to testify together, ad shi'ush nehem kechad, unless they saw the same act. Okay? For example, what are they trying to eliminate here? If one person says, I saw a loan on Monday that he lent him 100 shekel, and the next one comes, I saw he lent him 100 shekel on Tuesday, the same two people. Right? Each one is testifying that the guy owes 100 shekel to the borrower borrowed 100 shekel, but they're testifying about two different 100 shekels, basically. So, according to this, that's no good, according to Tanakama. You can't join testimony unless they both saw the same act the same time. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha Omer, afilu b'zeh achar zeh. He says, even if they saw one after the other. Second machloket, and this is going to be the important one for right now. And we're going to see these. We're going to discuss these cases for a while now. Within the stuff, and even into tomorrow, I think. Ve'ein edutam mitkayemet bebeitin ad she'yaidu shnehem keechad. Not only that, but you can't have the testimony work in a court unless they both testify at the same time. They have to testify together, which would explain, by the way, we can already stop here for a minute. That would explain why they bring in the two witnesses. Because what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said we have to hear each witness separately, because otherwise, how do we know if they're lying, right? We have to check them each separately. But according to this, then you have to bring them in at the end and hear them both testify at the same time. Now, there's a bit of a strange thing about this, because you would imagine you want them to do that before Gamru et hadavar. So the order doesn't make so much sense here. In any case, they're going to reject this reading in the end. But right now, they're going to suggest that this Mishnah, if we read it as, it's not the Balei Din, but it's the Edim they bring in. Why are they bringing in both the Edim? Because we need to hear them both testify at the same time. Rabbi Natan Omer, Shom'in Dvarav Shel Zeh Hayom. We can hear the testimony of one today, and we can hear the other witness the next day. It doesn't matter. They don't need to testify at the same time. So now the Gemara rejects this reading. So in other words, first the Gemara said, what you're going to say, our Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Natan, and it only follows Tanakam of that Braita, in that Machloket. So now they say, lo, la'olam le'balei dinim. Really, it was talking about the balei din, that we actually did ask them to leave at a certain point, even though the Mishnah didn't say so. When did we ask them to leave? Rabbi Nechemiah, it matches Rabbi Nechemiah's opinion. D'tanya, Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, kach hayam menagan shenekiyei hadat shebirushalayim. This is the way the extra careful people in Yerushalayim would behave. We've seen them before. Machnisim lebalei dinim v'shomim divrehen. So first they would bring in the balei din and hear what they had to say. This adds a little, it's a more elaborate than our Mishnah. Then they would bring in the edim and hear what they had to say. And then they bring everybody, they send everybody out. And then they deliberate without anybody in the room. And then gamurat hadavar machnisin otan. And then at the end, when they make their decision, then they bring in back the balei din and then they discuss it. Hatanya, but wait a minute. Isn't there a braita that says, Gamur tadavar machnisim et ha'edim? So then, which basically says it's not the balei dinim, it's the edim they bring in at the end. Hahi deloka Rabbi Natan. So they say, very simply, our Mishnah, we could read as they bring in the balei din. But that braita would just be, that would we'd say, the braita goes not like Rabbi Natan. Gufa. Now we're going to go into those two debates, and we're going to try to figure out what's the logic behind each one, or what's standing behind it. We're going to see. Some people think it's logic. They each have a logical argument, and some people say it's all based on derivations from Pesukim. Gufa. Lo'olam ein tutam tzerefet ad shu shnehem kechad. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha omer afilu b'zeh achar zeh. B'may kamiflegei. What's the root of the machloket? Ibai de makra, ibai de masvar. Some people say it's a pasuk. Some people say it's logic. Some people say it's logic. What's the logic? If it happened that two people saw a different loan take place, even though they both agree that he owes 100 shekel, they're each not testifying about the same things. So how could they possibly testify together? And the other opinion would say very simply, Rabbi Shor ben Korcha would say, no, they're both talking about 100 shekels. What's the difference whether they were talking about a different loan? They both testify in the end that the guy owes 100 shekel. V'ibayt emakra. Some people say it's based on the verse. Dichtiv. V'hu ed. O ra'a o yada. This is talking about someone who sees testimony and then doesn't come forward in court. And it says v'nasav. Oh no, it's not a good thing to do that. Okay, Vitanya. What's the drasha on the pasuk though? There's a braita that says mimash mashenemar lo yakum ed, eni yodea shehu echad. If it says lo yakum ed echad b'ish, right? This is a separate pasuk. So don't we know why does it say ed echad? Right? It would make sense to just say lo yakum ed. Obviously, we know it's echad. So matar b'lomar echad. Why does it say echad? Zevanav komakom shenemar ed harei kan shneim ad shifrei lecha katuv echad. So there's always a rule there's a general rule we learn from here. Anytime it says eid, it means two. Unless it says eid echad. Because the general eid in the Torah is two witnesses. V'af kerachmanu b'lashon chad l'meimar. And why? So then why does it say eid? Why didn't it just say eidim? What does it teach you? D'chazu travayu kechad. It's coming to teach you exactly this halacha. The two of them have to see it like one. So it calls aid. Anytime it says aid in the Torah, it means shnei edim. So anytime it says aid, what do we assume? It's two. Why does it say one then? Why didn't it just say edim if that's the case? To show that they have to see it as one. And that proves the Tanakama. V'idach, Rabbi Shor Mekorcha, what's his derivation? V'hu aid o ra'a o yada. It says that he's an aid. Either he saw or he heard. It seems to imply anyway he saw it, mikol makom. Anyway he saw it, whether he knows or not, right? Anyway the testimony comes, whether it's one aid by himself or two aidim together. Or two aidim separately. I'm sorry, not one aid by, and it's one aid by himself and the other aid by himself, or two aidim together. Either which way is going to be good. Second machloket, we're going to say the same thing, that either svara or a pasuk. Right. So some people say it's svara, some people say it's a pasuk. When one aid testifies in court, One Eid can only be Mechayev a Shvur. We learned this before. Two Eidim can be Mechayev Mamon. If there's only one Eid about a monetary case, we say, the person has to take a Shvur, and he can be Patur based on the Shvur. But he only is Chayev a Shvur if one Eid comes to testify against him. So if one person testifies in court by himself, that's just l'shvua. It's not l'mamon, and therefore you need both witnesses to come together. V'idach and Rabbi Natan, atu kiatu b'hade adade b'chab puma kamasade. Even when they come at the same time, are they testifying exactly with the same mouth? No. Ella mitzarfin lehu. We basically say you're testifying with your mouth, and you're testifying with your mouth. We're going to add 1 + 1 = 2. So hachanami, therefore also, even if they come to court at different times, litzarfinu. The whole mechanism is done anyway in two separate statements. So therefore, what's the difference whether the statements come separately on different days or separately one after the other? It doesn't make a difference. V'ibay de makra, and some people say we learn it from the pasuk. Im lo yagid, the continuation of that pasuk we saw before, the pasuk says im lo yagid, if he doesn't give his testimony that he saw, right? V'hu e lo yad ora'a o yada. Sorry, what is it? Ora'a o yada. V'im lo yagid v'nasavo no. So now, what are they going to learn from this? The beginning of the pasuk talked about seeing the testimony. Ora'a o yada. The second part of the pasuk talks about telling what he saw. Im lo yagid v'nasavo no. So what are they going to do here? Dekule alma kirabanan depligele Rabbi Shor ben Korcha. Both Rabbi Natan and Tanakama of the second machloket agree with the Tanakama of the first machloket, who disagrees with Rabbi Shor ben Korcha, who says that they both have to observe it at the same incident, basically, at the same time. So what's their machloket then? Hacha ba'akushe hagadah l'ri'ya kamiflige. Do we make a hekesh between Haggadah and Riyah? Just like I said, the beginning of the pasuk talked about Riyah. The second part comes to talk about when they come to court. So, do we compare these two things? So, Mar Savar Makshinan Haggadah L'Riyah. Right? One opinion says, we compare, and therefore, just like they have to be seen together, they have to see it together, they also have to tell it together. Mar Savar Lo Makshinan, but Rabbi Natan says, no, we don't compare these two things. I agree when it comes to Riyah, they have to be together, but when it comes to Haggadah, they don't. Okay, now we're going to have an interesting story. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim hava mishtaket alei de Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina lemismachei. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim really wanted to give smicha to Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. The lo kamisteya milta, but he wasn't able to do it. This might go back to what we saw before, that smicha has to be with a number of people. Remember, there's a certain minimum you need for smicha, and based on that, could be he couldn't get enough people to, it sounds like from the end of the story, that he couldn't get enough people to agree with him that this guy deserves smicha. Yom achad have a kayativ kamed Rabbi Yochanan. One day, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim and presumably also Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar lehu, Rabbi Yochanan said to the students, mi ikadi yada halachak Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha holo. Does anyone know here if the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha or not? Amar le Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim, Dein Yada. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, he knows. This was the guy he wanted to give smicha to. Amar le, Lema Ezo. So they say, so Rabbi Yochanan says, so please, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, tell us, who's the halacha like? So Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim is very smart. What does he say? Amar le, Lismachei Mar Beresha. If you give him smicha first, then he'll tell you. Let's first give him smicha, then he'll tell you the halacha. So, what do we say? What happened? Samche. So they gave him smicha. So Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim got exactly what he wanted. But let's see the continuation. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says now, okay, Bini, Amorli, Ketzad Shamata. So please tell me, what did you learn? Right, the assumption was that he had a masorah, that he had learned from his rabbi, who we paskin like in this machloket. Amar le, kach shamati, this is what I learned, what I heard, shemode Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha le Rabbi Natan. The Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha agrees with Rabbi Natan. In other words, we really don't know, he really didn't know whether we paskin like Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha or not. What he's saying is, what I learned is that Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha conceded to Rabbi Natan. In other words, he said, I agree with Rabbi Natan that when it comes to Haggadah, telling it, they can even be Bezer Charzeh. Okay? But that doesn't mean, right? What's interesting here is it doesn't tell you anything about Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha and whether or not we paskin like him. Okay, so what happens now? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, "Lizeu trachti? For this I had to give the guy smicha? What happened here? Hashta uma ikar raya bahade hadade am Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha lo bina hagada mibaye? I could have told you that. If Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha doesn't think that they need to see the testimony as one, obviously he's not going to think that they need to tell the testimony together, right? It would be obvious to Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha. If you remember, we said that even Rabbi Natan and Tanakama, neither of them held like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha. Right? They both held like Tanakama against him. In other words, Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha would obviously think that everything would need to be together if even the Riya needed to be together. So Amalei, so now, even though this was totally unnecessary, Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, I already gave you smicha. I can't take you down from having smicha. Amar Rabbi Zera, what does Rabbi Zera infer from here? Shmamina, gavaraba, kevan de smich, smich. You learn from here that a great man, once he gets smicha, he gets smicha. And there's nothing else you could do about it. Amar Bechia bar Avin, Amar Rav. It's actually possible. I'm not sure, but maybe you could read it the other way also, which is kevan de, could be the gavar rabba's Rabbi Yochanan. And since he gave smicha, his smicha is smicha. And therefore, right, even though he maybe gave it mistakenly, you can't turn back. I was thinking this is interesting in terms of making mistakes and mekach taot, and we were talking about judges who misjudge. Here you see that in this case, they are not willing. In this kind of instance, we're not going to take back even though a mistake was made. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Am Rav, halacha ke Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha. Now we're going to have different piskei halacha about whether we paskin like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha and whether we paskin like him in all cases or only in certain cases. Okay, so we're going to have a debate about this. There are going to be a number of different opinions, some brought now and some brought a little later. Halacha ke Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha, bein bekarkaot, bein bemetaltalin. Whether it's karka or whether it's metaltalin, we're going to paskin like him. Okay, what's the difference? The difference is that if it's metaltalin, it could be like a loan. It could be that they're talking about two different instances, right? Where he borrowed 100 shekel, he borrowed 100 shekel. It was a different 100 shekel that he borrowed. But if you're talking about land, and one says, I saw he sold the property, you know, and he testifies he saw the property, he saw him sell the property, and the other guy testifies, I saw him sell the property at different times, or where they just didn't, they weren't together when they saw it. So then you could say, well, obviously they're talking about the same thing. And maybe then it's more obvious we paskin like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha. But metaltalin, where they're two different, could be two different incidents, then it would be less likely. But anyway, according to Rav, we paskin like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha in both cases. They don't have to actually see the same instance at the same time. Ula amar, halachak Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha bakarkaot, avalo b'metaltalin. Ula says we only paskin like him when it comes to karka, but not metaltalin. Amar le Abaye halacha. Wait, Abaye says, wait a minute. Ula says the halachas are Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha the karka, but not by metaltalin. Michlal de plige. It sounds like if he's paskin halacha like him, the Tanakhama disagrees about both these cases. But v'hamar Rabbi Abba Rav Huna Rav modim chachamim le Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha beidu karka. But Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, the Chachamim actually agree with Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha about karka, that when it comes to talking about land, even Tanakama agrees with Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha, and he would agree that it's okay even if they didn't see it together. So how could you say the halacha is like him if even Tanakama agrees with him? It should just be everyone a hakol modim, you would say, something like that. V'tani Rabbi Idi bar Avin v'nezigin de Beikarna, and not only that, but Rabbi Idi bar Avin in Nezigin de Beikarna, which is it was like a book of halachot that they taught about Nezikin in the house of Karna. Modim chachamim l'Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha be'edu b'chor u'be'edu karka u'be'edu chazaka v'chein shebeben v'shebebat. So we're going to get into what all these cases are in a second, but in the basic point being here is that in his version of the laws, it said that Chachamim or Modim also to Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha in Edu Karka, Edu Chazaka, which were both right. In all these cases, they're basically saying when it comes to Edu Bechor, which means that there's a mum on the Bechor, which would mean that that it's no longer asur bahana'a, forbidden to provide, to get benefit from, and in edu karka, to show that this person owns the land, right, that he bought it from him, or edu chazaka, to show that if, you know, each of them testify that he was living on the property. This is if we no longer have the shtar, going back to the third parak of Bava Batra, if there's no longer a shtar and the person's been living there for 3 years, so we can have testimony by witnesses that say he's been living there for 3 years, even if the witnesses didn't see it all happen together, in that case, Chachamim would even agree with Rabbi Shua ben Korchitz, okay? V'chein shebeben v'shebebat, which we're going to discuss in a minute what exactly they're talking about, but what it means is, simanim, that a ben or a bat has reached the age of bagrut, okay, that they have two hairs. They grew two pubic hairs. So now we're going to get to exactly what the difference of the testimony was in that case soon. So now the question is, why does he say the halacha going back? Why did he say halacha is like him if it's already clear that chachamim were modim, and they should have just said modim chachamim and not the halacha is like Rabbi Shua ben Korcha? So now the Gemara says, that's not a question, because gavra gavra karami mar sever plige mar sever lo plige. There's actually a debate. Ula held that the chachamim still disagreed with him about this case, and all the other people who we quoted held that they didn't disagree. Okay, that chachamim were modim, but there's a difference of opinion among the emoraim about whether or not that is, and we have no problem when emoraim disagree. Next thing they're going to ask now is my shechin shebeben v'shebebat. What's this case? One says, I saw a hair, a pubic hair on the lower back. And one says, I saw a pubic hair on her lower abdomen. That's a half. Each one testified only about half a thing. Each one testified only about one hair. One hair is nothing. You need to have two hairs. One said, I saw two hairs on her back. And one said, I saw two hairs on her lower abdomen. And then, since they're each testifying about signs of adulthood, even though two were on her back and two were on her, they're not talking about the exact same hairs, that would be accepted. Even Chachamim would agree. Amar of Yosef. Ana amina mishmei de Ula. Now we're getting back to different opinions here. I say in the name of Ula, halachak Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, bein bekarkaot ubein bemetaltalin. Okay, before we had Ula who said, halachak is like Rabbi Shua ben Korcha bekarkaot velo bemetaltalin. And here, Rav Yosef is saying that I say in the name of Ula, in other words, I heard Ula say the halacha is like him, whether it's karka or whether it's metaltalin. The Rabbanan, which matches the first opinion we saw. The Rabbanan da'atu mi mechoza amre, the rabbis from mechoza said, Amar Rabbi Zera mishmei derab bekarkaot in avaloba metaltalin. Okay, and this matches the opinion that Ula said, which is only in karkaot and not in metaltalin. So Rav leta'ame, so now they say Rav goes the shitato, okay? When Rav would go the shitato, why? Dama Rav, hoda'a achar, okay, that we follow Rabbi Shua ben Korcha in karkaot, but not in metaltalin. Because what did Rav say? Hoda'a achar hoda'a, hoda'a achar halva'a mitztarfe. If someone says, one witness says, I heard him admit that he owed me money. And then someone else says, I heard him admit he owed me money. Or someone said, I heard it. He owed someone money. Sorry, I said me money. I meant someone else money. If one witness comes forward and says, I heard him say he owed someone money, and then another witness comes and says, I heard him on a previous day say that he borrowed money from someone, okay, that in other words, they borrowed money from that same person, where, in other words, one, they can both go together because the hoda'ah, if someone, let's take both those cases. Someone confesses to owing money on one day and he confesses to owing money on a different day. Both those, we can assume, are all talking about some one singular loan that happened before the time of the hoda'ot. And likewise with the hoda'ah, achar halva'ah, if someone comes forward and says he admitted that he owed someone money in January, and another person comes forward and said, I saw him lend the money in December, then it could make sense that the hoda'ah was referring to the same halva'ah. In that case, they'd be mitztarfe. But halva'ah achar halva'ah, halva'ah achar hoda'ah lo mitztarfe. But if the loan came, if one person testified about one loan and another testified about another loan on a different day, then that wouldn't work. Likewise, a halva'ah that came after the admission, okay, where one admitted, one said that the person borrowed money after He'd already admitted that he, after he had, in other words, the loan happened after the admission, the date of the admission. Okay, so that matches Rav, that only in Karka, when they're actually talking about the same incident, will we pass on like Rav Shuvah and Korcha, but not when the witnesses are coming about two different incidents. So just to clarify here, Rav Shuvah and Korcha is talking about them seeing the incident at the same time. But you could have a case where two people saw the incident separately, but they saw the same incident. Or you could have two witnesses who saw different incidents, but they both testify about the same thing. In other words, they both testify that the person owes 100 shekel. But if they're talking about two different owings of 100 shekel, so again, Rabbi Shimon Korcha's base opinion is that's okay. But the psikat halacha of Rav would be that's not okay. It would only be okay if they're testifying about the same incident, that would apply in karka, or in a case where it's hoda'ah har hoda'ah or hoda'ah har halva'ah. Eshkachir Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak l'Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yoshua. Amrlei. So he came upon Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yoshua, and he says to him, right? Why doesn't hava'acharava'a work? Because they're both talking about two different, right? They didn't see the same thing. They saw two totally different things. So hoda'achar hoda'a nami. Amana de kamodehai. Kamodekamehai lo modekamehai. Hoda'acharava'a should be the same thing, where there's two admissions. They're also not. We don't know. But admission after admission, why should it be okay? Maybe they're talking about two totally different incidents. So what do they say? Da'amar le lahai barta, it must be in a case where he says to the second guy, b'hai mana da'odile kamech, odile nami kamech ploni. I'm admitting to you about money that I admitted to someone else previously. So now they say, barakate batra liyada kamalo yada. But that's okay. The second witness knows he's testifying about the same thing as the first witness. But the first witness doesn't know that he's testifying about the same thing about the second witness does, because the guy only told the second guy. So now what do they say? Ah, it must be a case. The hadar azel amar le lekama. He must have gone back and told the first guy, hai mana da ode le kamach, ode le nami kame ploni. Okay, so then he would have to basically go and tell everybody that it's referring to the same thing, and then the witnesses could know that they're testifying about the exact same loan. So Amarlei, Tanuach Ta'atchashi, Nach Ta'atati. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says to him, ah, thanks for putting me at ease that you explained this. So now Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Yeshua says, Amarlei, Mai Nichuta, what's so good about this explanation? De Rav Abitem Rav Shesha Chadi Banarga. He totally rejected my explanation. In other words, why are you so impressed with my explanation? Someone, Rav Sheshet or Rav, one of them shot it down. Live Hanu Hoda'a Charova'a. Isn't that the same as a Hoda'a Charova'a? That you would have the same, it's the exact same thing, and it would be unnecessary. In other words, you could say the same thing for Hoda'a Charova'a, and therefore it would be unnecessary to say both those cases. They're both exactly the same. So now Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says to him, Hainu Dishmiya Le'alaychu, Diramitu Dikle Uzakiftu Lehu. This is what people say about people like you. You knock down palm trees, and then you pick them back up again. In other words, it's right, you build and then you destroy the things that you build. Okay. Nahardia, even though it's actually, the statement's actually the opposite, right? It should be you build it and then you knock it down. But I guess he's saying the same thing, that, you know, you knock things down and then you build them up again. Okay? And then I guess it's circular. Nahardia Amrei, now we get to another explanation, another psak here. Bein hoda'a charoda'a, bein hoda'a charova'a, bein halva'a charova'a, bein halva'a charoda'a, all those cases mitztarfot, keman, Rabbi Shua ben Korcha. Okay, and Nahardia, they held that we paskel like Rabbi Shua ben Korcha according across the board in all cases. Okay, we'll stop here for today.